That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed the reason is why is that not? Because Musar, we'll see after I want to discuss it a bit. Part of Musar, you know, we have Musar Shmuz and nothing. Why do we need a Musar Shmuz for? Just read the Maseiros Yesharim. Read the Chafetz Chaim Ala Torah. Right? Obviously, anything that we say, the Chafetz Chaim said better. Right? So what do you need same thing in Shir. What do you need a Rebbe for? Just open up a Sefer. So in Shir they say the Rebbe teaches you what not to say. But part of it is because Musar is a large part the emotional part. And you can't get an emotional relationship with a Maseiros Yesharim. At least it's very difficult. I guess maybe you could. But a living person, you can have a connection. And then when you have a connection with him, when he says something, it has much more an effect. So if a person, and that's really why a person's supposed to feel connected to the yeshiva, person's supposed to feel emotionally connected. Person's supposed to feel he's a Talmud of the yeshiva. This is my family. This is my home. It's very important to be happy in yeshiva. So when you feel that this is where you belong, so every time you hear a Musar, it's like your father telling you something in Musar. You know, it goes in much more. So if you have a relationship with a Rebbe, then everything you hear from him is deeper. If you speak to the old Talmidim of the Rosh Hashiva, part of the Rosh Hashiva's Hashba was because the Talmidim felt close to him. So that it is an important thing. So I encourage everyone, not just with myself, but with all the Rebbeim, you try and get a connection with the Rebbeim. Some guys definitely do, and some guys don't. And it's a chisar, and there are guys who keep their distance. You know, I don't want to keep my distance and... But it's not. You're losing out because when you have a connection with a Rebbe, it's not just because then the Rebbe will be able to give you good advice because he knows you. Okay, that's a side advantage. The main advantage of having a relationship with a Rebbe is that this way you emotionally are more ready to accept what he says, and we hope. That everybody in the yeshiva comes here because they want to improve, right? I was a Rebbe before I came here. I'm here for over 20 years. But before I was here, I was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if those who know CCJ know with me from CCJ. Mm-hmm. So the Beis Medrash in CCJ is not like our beautiful Beis Medrash, but it's they have, in the Beis Medrash, there are pillars. Right? Now, it's a fancy building to build that without any pillars in the middle. Even those pillars that they put up are faked in the basement. They're not real. They're just for design. You know, they made at the end, they made these pillars, like the marble. Those are fake. They're not really pillars. You know, they're just to make it look good. But the in a cheaper building, so to speak, you know, you have support beams in the middle because it's harder, you know. So in the Beis Medrash, there are beams in the middle of the Beis Medrash. So I had a system. You know, you wanted to know in the beginning of the year who the troublemakers are going to be. Right? It's important to know. So I had a system. It never failed. Is Rabbi Chait every year, Moshe Chait, within those years, used to give an orientation the first day or two of this month, and he'd give him the Beis Medrash. The guy who would sit behind the pillar so that there'd be no eye contact between him and Rabbi Chait, he's going to be your troublemaker of the year. Right? It's guaranteed. Sick ratio. Because why is he sitting there? It's because he doesn't want. He knows what Rabbi Chait's trying to be mashpi on me. Oy vey. He's going to ruin my life. I already got my girlfriend and my, you know, and he's going to want to convince me to quit. I don't want to do that. So I got to go ahead and not let the hashpah come. So if I sit behind the pillar, so maybe, at least for sure, then he won't get the eye contact, or, you know, I won't get the emotion. So I'm not going to let him get to me. But hopefully we don't have pillars here and we don't have any guys like that. So the guy wants Bedavka. We bedavka want to be changed. So the way you get changing is bedavka by getting closer to the Rebbe, because then you feel you accept more what he says. So I'm inviting everyone, to myself and for the other Rebbeim, you know, Rabbi Kleinman, Rabbi Winter, Rabbi Nyman, everyone, Rabbi Paragon, It's very, very kedai to get close to Rabbeinu. Okay. I wanted to give a little bit of introduction to Mussar, and not even though because probably you all know it already, but it's good to get the introductions in case people don't know. There's a new Sefer just came out, very fascinating. I would read, and what's it called? Shmabni. Yes, okay. Now, it's a very interesting Sefer. So in there, he has, in the beginning, he has a very interesting, the first, I don't know, 100 pages, deals with a shayla, basically, to try and explain the difference between the different schools of Mussar. In other words, we know that there were, Mussar itself, itself was a Mussar movement. Not everyone agreed with Mussar. Mussar was somehow supposedly started by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. People say Rabbi Yisrael got it from his Rebbe, who got it from Rav Chaim Volozhin, who got it from the Gra, who got it from earlier too. But the it definitely was the movement of Mussar started Rabbi Yisrael. But then within Rabbi Yisrael, there was branches. There were different systems. The yeshiva, important you know, I'm assuming those guys know, the yeshiva follows the school of Mussar of Salbaka. The school of Mussar of Salbaka is called Rav David. Rishiva Zatzal's father was Rav David. Rav David was a nephew, a great nephew, not a nephew. His father was a nephew. So he was a great nephew of the Chafetz Chaim, which is why the yeshiva is called Chafetz Chaim, if anyone ever wondered. And so his father was a great nephew of his Chaim. He learned in Radin, which was the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva. His main Rebbe in learning was Rav Naftali Trapp, which is a Granat. That was his Rebbe in learning. At some point, he decided whatever that he left Radin and he went to Salbaka. He did not go because of the Derech of learning. That's why the yeshiva does not follow the Derech of learning of Salbaka. The Rosh Yeshiva of Salbaka was Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Salbaka's Derech of learning was much more, I don't want to say Bikias orientated, but more an Ian Dick of Bikias, while Radin's Derech was a much more Ian Dick approach. But he did not go for the Derech of learning. He wanted to learn the Salbaka Derech of Mussar. So Rav David had a strange combination. Not strange, is that his Derech of learning came from Radin, and his Derech of Mussar came from Salbaka. Regretfully, that was the worst combination you could get in the world today, because the Radin Derech of learning, which was slow, which is very unpopular, and the Salbaka Derech HaMussar was not being frum, which was also very unpopular. If he would have done it the other way around, we would be the most famous yeshiva in the world. If he would have taken Salbaka Derech of learning to go, Baltimore is followed the Salbaka Derech of learning. Rav Rudiman learned, so he would have taken the Salbaka Derech of learning and the Radin Derech HaMussar, we would be world famous. But, okay, what can you do? That's how it is. So he took the Radin Derech and learning, which is what we follow, the supposedly the Granat Derech and learning, which is not for this conversation what the Granat Derech and learning is, but that is an interesting. It's also in that Sefer there was someone asked Rav Zuckerman, who learned in Radin, what the Radin Derech and learning is. And he said, it's the Amkis and the Pashtas. I forgot to read the line. Omek Abshat. Which means that basically, because I'm getting off on a tangent, I know. But okay, so go on a tangent. That it means that the you want to say Amkis, but you also want to be Emes. So the more you get off into Amkis, the more less likely it's true. See, if I tell you a tremendous chiddush, I have a world-shattering chiddush. You see this? This really, you think this is a hand. It's really a gun. It's disguised as a hand. It's really a gun. Oh, it's an amazing chiddush. Except there's one thing wrong with that chiddush. It's not true. But if I tell you a chiddush, this is a finger. You think it's just a finger, but it's not just a finger. It's made up of muscles. It's made up of cells. and every cell has membranes, and there's all kind of blood vessels, and I'm sticking to the pashas, but just delving into the pashas. So he said that was the rad and derech learning, is you stay as close as possible to the pashas, but delve into it. Okay. Anyway, so we found the rad and derech learning from the Granat and the Salbaka derech Musar. Okay, so in that sefer, he wants to discuss. Now there were other derechs of Musar. There was a Mir derech Musar, Rav Yerucham. There's a Vardik derech Musar. There's a Kelm derech Musar. There are other derech Musars. There's a Tells derech Musar to a certain extent. From Europe. I don't know offhand other derech Musars. Those are the main ones. It was the Kelm, Navardik, the Mir, and Salbaka probably were the main ones. And Tells was a little different, but also they claimed to be derech Musar. So what was the difference between the Salbaka and the other derech Musars? And it's important that we understand where we're coming from. There's a basic philosophical question. I don't like the word philosophical. Did anyone here ever do an Aveira? Yes. Okay. Now, when you did the Aveira, did you know when you sort of doing Aveira that you really shouldn't be doing this?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. So why'd you do the Aveira? Right? Says the Mishnah, Avechash Chesed Mitzvah Kineged Schara. Right? You have a guy, he's sitting at the table, he's eating food, he says, I really shouldn't be eating this. You know, the doctor told me if I eat this, I'm going to die. But I'm going to eat it anyway. Right? Why is he eating it? Makes no sense. Or I'm going to be overweight. Or I'm going to get sick. You have a guy, give a simple tear. You have a guy who has stomach ache. He has diarrhea. And he's sick all day. And then Baruch Hashem, he ate breakfast, he ate lunch. He's coming to supper time and his stomach is starting to feel better. And he tells himself, okay, I'm just going to eat toast, rice, whatever, something very, okay, I don't want to upset my stomach. Comes to supper, and guess what? They're serving his favorite dish, chili. My favorite dish. Right? So he eats it. Now the guy's always eating, he goes, I shouldn't be eating this. I'm going to be in the bathroom all night. I'm going to have stomach aches. I'm going to be in pain. So why do people do such things? Right? Makes no sense. So why do people do Averis? It's a very, very important question. Because if we know why we do Averis, we can stop it. So one, people say we do Averis because we don't really believe in Hashem. But the Baal Shem Tov did not go with that answer. That is not, they don't like that answer. They believe that almost everybody believes in Hashem. It's inborn in a Jewish neshama belief. The proofs are so obvious, just Rabbi Chanan, that even a 13-year-old kid is supposed to believe it. It's so obvious. If you wouldn't be in yeshiva if you didn't believe. So they did not go for that answer.
Who goes with that?
There are people in the world, you know, obviously some people hold to that. But the Baal Shem Tov did not accept that answer, that the problem is lack of emunah. That's why we do not have in the yeshiva courses in proving God's existence. Because the assumption, now it doesn't mean that some people isn't helpful for it. Some people do have that problem. But the assumption is that for the average person, that's not the problem. If you really weren't sure that God exists, you wouldn't be in yeshiva probably.
If you believed it much more, then you'd be...
Okay, so you have to believe it more. So the question is, how do you believe it more? So what does that mean? So you're saying, well, being more proofs. But if I have enough proof, so just adding more proofs not going to do anything, because why did the last proof do it? Okay, chazer. So the usual answer of the Baal Shem Tov is that because a human being is not rational. A human being is not a computer. And we very often do not act in a rational way. Even though we like to think that we act rationally. Human beings follow their emotions. And when your emotions fight your intellect, very often the emotions win. Like this guy that has an emotional desire for chili. So he knows that intellectually he shouldn't be eating it. His emotions want to eat it, so he eats it. So there's a war in the person between his intellect and emotions. The problem is our emotions are stronger than our intellect, and therefore we end up doing aveiros. That's the standard explanation of all the Bali Muslim. So how do you solve that problem? So there's this gigantic machloikas between the Bali Muslim. Most Bali Muslim solve the problem by turning your belief in Torah and Yiddishkeit into an emotion. Meaning it's not just intellectually. Chazer is not just intellectually wrong. It's disgusting. If I eat chazer, I vomit. The thought of eating chazer, I vomit. Right? We talked about in last year about chocolate covered soa, right? Those who know are the that you see a prutza in the street. She's disgusting. She's a prutza. Yuck. You see a tzaddik. Oh, I love the tzaddik. You create emotional feelings. I love Shabbos. I love Zmiris. I love, whatever. So to create an emotional connection, but I talk about even being connected to your abeyim. This is part of my emotional life. So you're emotionally, it's not just, it's what they call fighting fire with fire. The problem is I have this very strong emotion that's pushing me to do an aveira, and that emotion is stronger than my intellect. So if I can make an emotion that hates aveiras and loves doing mitzvahs and loves, and I get a pleasure from conquering my yetzer hara, and when I don't give into an aveira, I feel emotionally happy, right? And when I do an aveira, I feel emotionally unhappy. So then it's emotions versus emotions. So that is the standard system of the Musar, that they try and churn your intellect into also emotions. That's Musar Bisbaivis.
Musar Bisbaivis. And then your Yetzer
Hara goes away? Doesn't go away, but you have you have a tool to fight it. You fight it with the other emotion, but you have two emotions. And now the two emotions are fighting each other. And you also have the intellect too. But you have a balancing. The Yetzer Hara has a weapon, and you use it. Yes, I want to have that same weapon. So it's like becomes even. I'll say, oh, did not go away altogether. I didn't say that. That would be too easy. But it definitely becomes much easier. That's the idea of Musar Bisbaivis.
What's an eitzah to make that an emotion?
What?
What would be an eitzah to make something like that?
So there are ways. Musar Bisbaivis is what they say about reading over things, and somehow it knocks it from your conscious into your subconscious through repetition, through songs, through emotion, through singing Zmiris, thinking in hand, you get an NCSY and you all sing together and the lights are out and everyone's singing and you're crying and about some real emotional song it makes it into emotions. And there were places they have shmuzim in the pitch dark. We don't do that, but Shavuot shudas, and there are some yeshivas, I've been at, where they don't have lights on, and the shmuz is in pitch dark, and the person saying the shmuz gets very, very emotional, and he cries, and he screams, and he knows how to pull emotions, and he tells stories. Stories can also make very emotion. And he creates emotions. Okay. Now, that sounds great. Regretfully, that was not the Sabaka approach. The Sabaka was weary of that, because that means that you're granting that emotions win. And that's good for the danger, that emotions beat your intellect. So, except you're just hopefully creating another emotion. But what if you don't have the other emotion? What if this? So Sabaka wanted to work on the opposite. Change your personality. Don't be an emotional person. Don't allow emotions to beat your intellect. Don't even have these emotions. If the intellect shouldn't control, not that you don't have emotions, but you shouldn't get emotional about a piece of steak. You shouldn't get emotional about the Aveira. You shouldn't get emotional because your brain should control your emotions. You don't get emotional unless your brain tells you to get emotional. And your brain rules supreme, right? It's a whole different approach.
So you are changing your emotions or
you're
not?
You're not changing your emotions. You're stopping your emotions. You're doing two things. One is you're strengthening the muscle of your intellect. In other words, a little kid, you say, have self-control. Don't eat this donut for 5 minutes. I don't think a little kid can do that. If you're an older, you say, I'll give you $10. If you don't eat this donut for 5 minutes, you can do it. Your intellect is controlling your behavior. A little kid, I know it's a known thing. They one of the games they play is they have little kids and they tell the kid, you will give you $1 million if you don't eat this donut for 5 minutes. And you see the parents, they're going, don't eat, don't eat, don't eat. And, of course, the kid always eats the donut. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's a comedy routine, but it always works because the kid can't control himself. Even the parents are going crazy, don't eat, don't eat, you know. But he stares them in the face, a donut, they'll eat it. But that they have no control. So their intellect is weak. You can exercise your intellect to make your intellect stronger, so that your intellect is able to control your emotions. Also, the second thing is you can exercise your intellect that the intellect doesn't allow you to get emotional about something that your intellect doesn't approve of. So it becomes that the intellect rules supreme. Obviously, it's very hard. But that happens to be the yeshiva is a shita. The reason, I'm losing time, but the reason why you'll see that in the yeshiva is, for example, the shmuzim are very much intellectual, not emotional. We don't get emotional with shmuzim. Basically, a shmuzim is almost like an intellectual shir. You go to any normal yeshiva, the muzer shmuz is very emotional. And you go to this yeshiva, and the muzer shmuzim are very dry, because we're working at a different, we're trying to train you to think, train that your intellect rules supreme. So we want to be dry. Reshiva used to say shmuzim in a monotone. But Meir Chodesh, they say, used to say shmuzim in a monotone, because the idea was, they say the outer said shmuzim in a monotone, because there's no emotions, we just intellect.
Would it be bad if you did both?
The problem is that when you do both, so then you're sort of, sometimes in order to really get one, you have to focus on it. And a little bit they're in steer to each other. But you are completely right. And that's my next point. Is that we are weak people. And therefore, because we're weak people, we do try and do both. Because the rule is, so I little time. I gave this mushroom many times. I'm a weak person, and I have a yard. My house in Florida comes with a backyard, and Florida is a very strange place. Is that things grow all of a sudden? So you wake up one day, and you walk out of your backyard, and there's a tree there, and it wasn't there yesterday. And serious, it's just weirdest thing. Like, I have a weird tree. I have a fruit tree growing in my house. I don't know where it came from. I have this gigantic tree in my house, and it's not a gigantic tree. It wasn't there when I bought the house, and then I know. Now it's just a gigantic tree. And a vow, I never chopped it down, because it was too, you know, was when it came there, it got a little, but it's still too hard for me. But now it's like, you know, gigantic. But it's very common. I get lots of these. So sometimes when I'm in a good mood, and I decide, okay, I used to actually own a saw. I don't own it anymore. And I would try cutting down the tree. But I, what?
You could cut down a fruit tree?
It wasn't a fruit tree. It was just a tree. It just came out of nowhere. So what I've discovered, even with my suah, is that the outside part of the tree is relatively soft, but once you get to the inside, it's harder. So when I try cutting with my saw straight through, I can't go. So what I would do is I would cut a little bit on this side, a little bit on this side, a little bit on all four sides, and then it was enough that I could crack the middle, you know, and break the tree. Which means that very often the easy parts are easy, but the hard part are hard, and the trick is you do a lot of easy, it also works. So I'm trying to say is that what we sometimes do is we use both, because each system in Mussar has its easy parts. To really use it to the fullest extent is hard, but to use it a little bit is easy. So we try and do both.
Isn't that taken away, though?
It does, but that's what we try and do anyway. Can't help it. So we do a little bit of both. So therefore, the Mussar Shmuzim are supposed to be intellectual. The Cheshbon, a lot of it intellectual. On the other hand, Mussar B'Spaydus is supposed to be emotional, which brings me to the Mussar Vad. And then I'm going to start. The Mussar Vad is a little bit supposed to be more emotional. It's different than the Mussar Shmuzim. The Mussar Shmuz is supposed to be an intellectual shear. The Mussar Vad is supposed to be, now this, it can be whatever the person who's talking decides he wants to be, but the officially, according to the official Mussar Vad rules, the Mussar Vad is supposed to be to use a certain, to point out more emotional tricks and to give the guys tricks to deal with their issues. And a lot of Mussar Vadim is to use the tricks of Chinuch HaMussar. What is Chinuch HaMussar?
It's implementing it, so it's
a habit forming, right? One of the emotional tricks, besides Mussar B'Spaydus, is habit. Getting into a habit, I have trouble getting up for Minyan. How am I going to get over my Yetzer Hara? Turns out if you get into the habit, it becomes easy. So if you, when you realize that, then you just have to get into the habit for a month, and then it'll be easy. So you can push yourself. So a trick, habit. All right, I'll give you an example. Everyone says this example. I don't. It's hard to explain it. By girls, it's very difficult. You have a girl come from a little bit more modern background, and she comes to seminary, to school, and they say they have a dress code. You have to wear dresses up to your knee and cover your elbows. And they say, this is ridiculous. I can't stand it. I hate it. I don't understand. Why are we doing this? Well, explain to me why I have to dress like this. So what the standard answer is, okay, we'll explain to you, but right now we're a little busy. Come back, you know, at the beginning of the year. Meanwhile, this is the rule, do it. Come back in 2 months after things settle and we'll discuss it. And they say it works wonders because they never come back. Because once they do it for a month or two, it becomes habit. And just the opposite. They wouldn't be caught, you know. There was a guy in the Kotel told me the same thing. He told me that he used to go to bungalow colonies, and he was an older Kotel guy, older than me. And he says that in the bungalow colonies, he used to wear shorts. He said one day, the Rosh Yeshiva happened to visit his colony for some reason, and the Rosh Yeshiva saw him wearing shorts. He told him, it's not proper for a Kotel guy to wear shorts. He says, I thought the Shiva was from the Mars, guy backwards from Europe, you know? Yeah, of course, what's wrong with wearing shorts? Everyone wears shorts. But okay, the Shiva told me not to wear shorts. I'm not going to wear shorts. He says, today, you wouldn't catch me dead in shorts. You know why? Because he hasn't worn shorts. Right? So when you do something for a while, it changes your emotions.
Isn't that fake?
It's not fake. I know intellectually that the right emotion is that shorts is not right, because the Torah says shorts is not right, or that a dress of a girl is supposed to be covering your knees. You intellectually know it's the right hard thing, but I don't feel it. So you know how I get myself feeling it? By doing it. Doing, sometimes, it's called in the Chazal, Chitzonius Ma'iris Apnimius. Okay, let's be close. It doesn't always work.
So you don't intellectually believe it, you shouldn't be doing it.
If you have no shaykhs to it, you shouldn't do it. But if you have shaykhs, if there's some left, so a lot of the Musar Vadim are eitzes. Most of the Musar Vadim are tricks. That's what we know. Obviously, we're going into Edel, so we're going to spend some time in tricks, how to go ahead and do tshuva. That's the trick. But as the year precedes, we want to discuss tricks, how to learn Bahasmada, tricks, how to learn Be'ian, tricks, how to daven with Kavana, tricks, how to, I don't know, to be about Chesed. Now, I can't promise that every other person is going to give the Musar Vadim, is going to do it the same way, because they've never didn't hear this introduction. So I don't know. But that's way, at least the way I understand the breakdown, that the Musar Shmuzim are intellectual to strengthen the intellect, to know what's right, to work on becoming a more intellectual person. The fact that you work with your intellect. Is this mukhluk or isn't this mukhluk? Is this the right hashkava? Is this not the right hashkava? You're strengthening that the mind is important, is the determinator. And in Musar Vadim, to a certain extent, we're veering off from the intellect. We're saying, okay, realistically, how do I go ahead and daven with kavana? Give me a trick. Give me a tachpula. Give me how do I overcome? I know I want to come to Minyan, but I can't. So what is a suggestion? I want to do tshuva, but I can't. It's very hard to do tshuva. You know, I did tshuva last year, and then all the things I would come mekabel not to do, I end up doing them again. So give me a trick that I can do tshuva that work. You know, don't know, not all the tricks work either. But that's the goal. So, okay, what I cut someone off? I didn't cut you off. What? What? Yes, what do you want to say?
What show you that the shmuz are about Musar, not about any? If it's just the Ian said, why is it in that front of it?
What?
Well, if the point of the shmuz is just mechazic, just like mechazic your seichel, so why does it have to be in the front?
Because your seichel on Musar topics. So it sort of like makes you to hear that a Musar topic, the seichel, is what rules supreme. The seichel determines what your hashkafas are. The seichel, it gives you, it does, I think. It makes you understand that your seichel is the criteria, and you're using your seichel, and you're getting you're getting right hashkafas with your seichel. You know, you don't get your hashkafas from your emotions; you get it from your seichel. Okay.
Could Rabbi explain that a little more?
Ian Seder wouldn't do that at all.
Maybe it would too. Ian Seder. The truth is, we hold that Ian Seder. We definitely hold that the Musar Derech and the Ian Derech go together.
But not as much as the Musar.
But it's okay. It's the same. But they go together. But it's not the same. This is a little bit more focused. They say Rav Yerucham said the same thing. There was a very big gadol in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Abba Berman. He has a sefer on Yevamos we have. So Rav Abba Berman used to say that his derech in learning, he learned from Rav Yerucham, because he took Rav Yerucham's derech of Musar and he applied it to learning. So that's what the world said. That his derech in learning was that Rav Yerucham's derech in shmuzim, he did it in learning. So anyway, but there is obviously an overlap.
Would Rabbi ever say for someone that you shouldn't do the Slabaka Derech HaMusar, but rather do like Musar Pespilus? Because
we
like
do say you should do. We say you should do both.
More, like a guy more than other people. Like, would we ever say it's based on the person? Like, I don't know if you should do like
the Slabaka. You see, the Slabaka did not like the other system, because the Sabaka felt that the other system has a big hole in it, because you're by allowing that emotions rule supreme, you're setting it up the guy for a dangerous situation. Because what if, in other words, I remember this, I think it's also in that, it's Shmabin, he said it there, that you're going to learn Musar Bispaitis, and you're going to get very emotional from emotional singing, and then you're going to go $5 to a Nazi rally, and everyone's going to go like, and you know, so you're, now you are trained to get very emotional, so you'll be swayed by the crowd also. So it's not a the Sabaka approach was nervous that by allowing a person to get emotionalized so much by Musar B'Spinus that you're just following your emotions, what's going to happen if you're in a bad crowd where there's an emotion being generated in for a negative thing? So there was Sabaka was weary of that. So we do it a little bit, but only a little bit.
So what should Musar say?
That was what they did it also.
So I have to be careful what I say because there's a bunch of tape recorders here. So some people claim that in Sabaka they didn't do Musar B'Spinus, just for the record. But some people say they did.
Do you know Shishu do Musar B'Spinus?
Yes.
So
what is that? The Taurus is what I'm saying is because we do both.
Maybe saying even Sabaka?
But in the official Sabaka in Europe, many people say they did not do Musar B'Spinus, just for the record. What? People who were there.
I don't
know. I never remember that.
They're saying I should do Musar
B'Spinus. No, but we do it. Because we do every day. Whatever, if you can't. Because we need both. Because of what I'm saying, that we're little people. But a person who really, 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 on the highest madrega of Sabaka Musar, I don't know.
Rabbi would recommend that
the emotional system is that you could get into an emotional thing, which is not.
Yeah, no, that if you're not creating a checks and balances, that you're because the check and balance has to be that there are times that you're going to be in an emotional. You're going to hear a speaker who's going to be very emotional. And but his hashkafa is not kosher,
so
or not right.
What if someone gives an intellectual speech?
Yeah, that's more.
Because since you're intellectual, you intellectually know that he's not right.
Than you.
Oh, come on!
How does a Sabaka person do?
How does
a Sabaka do a mitzvah with Simcha Rabbah? How do he get this?
Oh, we got a chassid here because your intellect tells you that you have emotions. Emotions are part of the human being. But a real Kaltamis Nagin Sabaka person is that his emotions only come out when he pushes the button. He says there's this monster called emotions. And emotions cause you to get into big trouble. So I have the emotions in a cage. And then I say, okay, emotions, now good time to come out. I'm doing a mitzvah. We're going to do a besimcha. Emotions, come out. And then you open the door and you let the emotions out. And then when you're finished, you take the emotions and you lock them back up in your cage. And when you come Shabbos, Einik, Shabbos, Miris, you get nice and emotional because your intellect tells you now's a good time to get emotional. But you're in control of your emotions. Your emotions are not just random; they're just automatic. They're not just, you know, you walk down the street and you see an ani, and you tell yourself you should be emotional, poor person. You feel so terrible, and you give him a stucca. You walk down the street and you see an ani who's in a maleki. Your intellect says no emotions here. Take out my gun and kill the guy. Your intellect is controlling your emotions. See, if you're just an emotional person, it's going to be very hard for you to kill that Amaleki guy. But if your intellect is in controlling your emotions, so then you could